That's big time.
Minus 15.
Respect all, fear none.
Oh, did he belt that one?
Intensity is not a perfume.
It was a no doubter.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We are up in the bird's nest here at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I'm Brennan Mortensen alongside Matt Bonaparte. He's adjusting his microphone. The Orioles are looking for a sweep today of the Minnesota Twins if the rain decides to hold off for a little bit. It's raining pretty hard right now. Isn't supposed to rain all day, so hopefully they'll get this 1 o'clock afternoon game in. But the offense has been scorching. Orioles are looking for another sweep. They won't get swept, but they could do the sweeping.
Yeah, yesterday was pretty fun. A couple home runs really early on. Gunner to right, Westberg to left. Westberg gripped and ripped that ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I love what I'm seeing from that guy. I think, you know, he kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit because of how great the talent around him is, but he's so tremendous. I love Jordan Westberg.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about Jordan Westberg. We're going to talk more about this offense, but we do need to start with some injury news, and that is in the Orioles starting rotation, and Tyler Wells, who is headed to the injured list with elbow inflammation. That is not great.
Yeah,
Anytime you hear elbow inflammation, especially over the last few weeks, and we have seen so many pitchers go down with injuries, with pretty significant elbow injuries. Brandon Hyde said they're being optimistic about it, and the move to the IL was more cautionary than anything. And Hyde said that they are really confident that he's going to be okay and that it's not going to be too long. So we are not sure what the exact timeline on Tyler Wells looks like. Seems like this is just, you know, a before it gets any worse type of move from the Orioles. But anytime you hear elbow inflammation, that's cause for concern.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Especially like you said now, where it's nearing, what, like 40 players, it seems, have gone down to elbow injuries this season. So a little scary for sure, but Orioles, they bring up Albert.
Yeah.
It's Albert time.
So we will see what happens with Wells over the coming weeks. We know that in the offseason, Kyle Bradish had some elbow concerns as well. He looks good. He had a great rehab start in Bowie yesterday. So hopefully Wells is able to follow a similar track to Bradish, where it's not as severe as we thought it would be. Because when you hear elbow, your brain goes to the worst. So hopefully he and Bradish can be on a similar track of, it actually might not be as bad as he thought. So we'll be hopeful there. But yeah, Bones, as you mentioned, Albert Suarez comes up. He will make the start today. He has not looked awesome in Norfolk thus far, but this is not a long-term type of answer. Suarez gave you some solid starts in spring training. Think about the one start against the Phillies. I think he had 6 strikeouts there. So Suarez is going to be a temporary Band-Aid, I believe, because John Means is on the way back. Means has already made 3 rehab starts in Norfolk and might only need 1 more. So Suarez, you're probably looking at a turn or 2, probably at most, in the rotation.
Yeah. He looked good that one start in spring, so that's pretty much all everybody's going off of.
Sure.
He was one of those guys who just pops up in spring training, who you're all surprised by, and you're like, I didn't think Albert Suarez was going to make me happy this spring. But he was. So maybe he can bottle up some of that magic, bring it to the park today. But big day for him. Hasn't pitched in the majors since 2017 with the Giants. So a nice return for Albert. Like you said, I think it'll probably be a couple starts at most. John Means comes back. Or maybe Tyler Wells eventually makes his way back and it's not as serious as we thought. And Brandon Hyde's right.
Yeah, there was a thought that maybe John Means could make the start today. I don't think you're going to rush Means just because there's an injury to Wells. You're going to maintain his timeline, whatever it looked like in Norfolk. So I would imagine that Means probably gets one more start with the Tides before he's ready to go back at the big league level. You wouldn't want to throw him into the fire before he's ready. A game or two is not significant enough to risk a long-term injury concern with John Means. There are also some questions about whether you might see some of the top pitching prospects, like Chase McDermott, Justin Armbruster, Cade Povich. Justin Armbruster has not looked great thus far in Norfolk. The numbers aren't awesome. Chase McDermott has had a lot of command issues thus far. 4 starts, he's got 17 walks. I don't think either of those guys are ready to make a big league start right now. Cade Povich has looked pretty unbelievable. He's got 3 starts thus far, 24 strikeouts, 5 walks, 2 earned runs, 4 hits.
Yeah.
And I think if this was September, then Cade Povich might be getting the call here for a start or two. But we're very early on in the season. You want to make sure that Cade Povich is on a consistent routine down with the Tides, because Povich was pretty inconsistent a season ago. And as good as he has looked thus far in AAA, you don't want to disrupt his rhythm at all. You don't want to have him up in the big leagues for a start or maybe two and then send him back down, and then he's off his schedule. So I think it makes sense to keep Povich down in Norfolk. The priority is still his development, and I don't think a start or two with Means coming back is really going to change that at all, because you don't want to call Povich up and then John Means is ready next week and Povich got one start in the big leagues and it was like, all right, see you in September maybe.
Waste an option as well.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I think also pretty small sample size on what he's done. Not to say, obviously he's pitching very well and that's a great sign, but it's not like you're going to bring him up and he's going to be lights out necessarily. So, I think you're definitely right. You should leave Povich down, bring up a guy like Albert Suarez who can eat a start or two, whose potential is not as high on paper as Cade Povich is. So yeah, I think leaving Povich down in AAA was the right move.
Yeah. And I think this also just answers the question of what is the rotation going to look like when John Means comes back. Obviously, you're not wishing for injuries at any point, but the question is now answered of which rotation spot is going to be filled by John Means, and it was Tyler Wells. And I also wouldn't be surprised if once Wells is healthy, we see him in the bullpen rather than the starting
rotation.
Yeah, I mean,
time will only tell on that one. I don't really know what they'll do, probably. I mean, he didn't have the greatest first couple starts of the season that anybody could have. Maybe that can be attributed to some of what he was feeling in the elbow. That always kind of is something that gets pointed to once a guy hits the IL, is what his last couple starts looked like.
Sure.
And he wasn't the Tyler Wells we knew from the first half of last season. So I think maybe some of that can be attributed to the elbow. But also, he struggled a little bit. And I could see them definitely throwing him in the bullpen because he's still an incredibly effective pitcher. Yeah. They just have to find his role.
Yeah, he's a great bullpen arm. I think that's really his floor. You would like to see what you have with him as a starter, but with John Means coming back, with Kyle Bradish starting to look like his old self a little bit down in AA Bowie, he's working his way back as well. You know, this rotation could look a lot different in a few weeks, and the Orioles, quite frankly, could use that because they are 8-0 in games started by Corbin Burnes and Grayson Rodriguez, and they are 3-6 in games where those two guys are not starting.
Yeah.
So getting John Means and Kyle Bradish back as reinforcements is going to be huge for this team.
I agree. The rotation on this team is something that was obviously talked about all offseason. Mike Elias talked about it when we spoke to him at winter meetings. You know, that was the topic of conversation around the Orioles was, can they sustain what they had last year in the rotation? Do they need another guy? They went out and got the other guy. Now they just need the other guys from last year to get healthy and join them. So once this rotation is at full health, I think it's going to be pretty dastardly.
Yeah. Interesting with Albert Suarez to note, too, that he does not have any options remaining.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Zimmerman was also a potential guy that could start this game today. So I don't think we're going to see a situation where Suarez starts one game and then Zimmerman starts one game and then Means comes up. I think Suarez is probably the guy until John Means gets here because he doesn't have any options. So you're probably not going to send him back and forth.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I wonder if another guy, like surely when Means gets off the IL, they'll have to DFA him. But I wonder if another injury happens, what they do. But, you know, cross that bridge when we get there.
Cross that bridge. Hopefully you don't have to. And hopefully the news that we're talking about on the injury front is guys returning from injury rather than somebody else getting hurt here.
True.
So we will see, and we'll see what Albert Suarez is able to give the Orioles in the start or two that he will more than likely have. But let's talk about the offense, and let's start with Colton Cowser. Just won American League Player of the Week a week ago. He's hitting .405. He has an OPS over 1,200 with 4 home runs and 6 doubles. He's done that in 42 at-bats. I know that we have had the outfield conversation over these last two shows, over the last 2 weeks. Last week, I was defending Austin Hayes, saying that like his spot is not going anywhere. He's going to break out of the slump. He's going to be fine. We're going to get to Austin Hayes, and I still believe that he is going to break out of that slump because he is too talented of a player not to. And when we first started having this conversation of, hey, Colton Cowser is playing really well and Austin Hayes is not playing so well to start the season, I said, if Colton Cowser continues to play well, he is going to earn more at-bats. And that is exactly what he has done. Colton Cowser has turned himself into an everyday player because with these kinds of numbers, you cannot justify leaving him on the bench against righties, against lefties, really in any situation. He needs to be in the lineup every day because he's playing that well right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. He needs to start, like you said. There's really no argument for him not to. He's so good. He plays that left field well enough.
Yep.
And I think you can't take him out of the lineup right now for what he adds. He is at the peak of what I think he's going to offer. I mean, if he does, this is what Colton Cowser is. You know, for the people that were skeptical about his potential, this is what we were all talking about.
Yeah.
This is how good this guy is. And if he can continue to do half of this, he'll have a starting role in this team.
Yeah, and again, Cowser, a guy who kind of got lost in the prospect talk shuffle a little bit. He is a top 20 prospect in baseball for a reason. I know he struggled when he came up to the big leagues last year, but he clearly made some huge adjustments in spring training, both mentally and some small tweaks physically.
The breathing. That guy loves breathing.
Big breathing.
Don't
guy,
we all?
Colton Cowser. And just for the fact that his role didn't look like something that we were going to see from Jackson Holliday, which was come up and start every day. His role at the beginning of the season was you are going to be the fourth outfielder.
Yeah.
And that's what we saw for the first, you know, five, six, seven games of the season was Colton Cowser was firmly the fourth outfielder. But you can have all the offseason discussions you want, and you can have all the plans that you want for him to be the fourth guy. He's not playing like the fourth guy. He's playing like the number one guy.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's playing like the best guy you've got out there.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. And, you know, this lineup really benefits from having a guy who can just come in and offer what he's offering right now, because most of run scoring for the past couple weeks has been Colton Cowser, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's irreplaceable in the lineup right now. You have to put him in.
Yeah, he's got 15 runs driven in on the season. 10 of them came in that three-game series against the Red Sox. He has 4 home runs. Again, 6 doubles, 10 extra base hits on the year. So, Colton Cowser has been unbelievable. And I think until something changes, he is going to be your starting left fielder. Which brings us to the Austin Hayes conversation, where, again, last week and in weeks prior, I've defended Austin Hayes and said, look, this is an all-star from a season ago. He is a good player when he is healthy and on the field. And right now, he's got 39 at-bats, 3 hits, all of them are singles, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. The OPS is at 220. Austin Hayes is a really good baseball player. And I'm not going to sit here and disparage Austin Hayes at any point, but he's not playing well right now. And Colton Cowser is earning the at-bats that he is getting. And, you know, media was talking to Austin Hayes the other day, and he pretty much said, look, like the world's not falling. I'm confident that I'm going to be able to break out of this, and we're going to look back at the end of the season, and I still think this has the potential to be one of the better seasons in my career. And Austin Hayes has the kind of talent to break out of this. He's been somewhat unlucky. I mean, he had a 105 mile an hour liner the other day that was caught at third base and just kind of laughed and was like, that's how the season's going right now. But the expected batting average is closer to 200 than it is right now at an 077.
Yeah, I mean,
but like,
look, like, it's baseball, okay? Like, I don't know why all of a sudden, you know, if this happened 10 years ago, I think a lot of people would have said, it's baseball, he'll get back on track.
Sure.
But nowadays, with people love overreacting to statistics and love looking at everything if in the first 15 games and saying, this is what you are, this is all you're going to be this season, whatever. It's baseball. This thing happens all the time. People go cold. People get hot. Yeah. It's a game of streaks. And I think Austin Hayes will regress to the mean like every other player usually does. I think he'll be fine. And will he be an all-star again? I don't know, but he'll definitely be a serviceable player once again.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for his season-long stats to get back to somewhere that looks pretty good right now. That's going to take a while because he's 39 at-bats in, and it's going to take a very hot streak and some good, consistent playing time to get those numbers back up. You know, Hayes said the other day, too, that he was really sick in spring training. He dropped like 10 pounds.
Lost 10 pounds.
He missed a bunch of at-bats. And so the beginning of this season here, he acknowledged that he was kind of behind for a few weeks, which makes sense. He looks a little behind right now. And, you know, he's not making excuses. I know he has struggled with injuries and different things throughout his career, and he wants to be on the field. But, again, we have talked about it before. This is one of those situations where if Colton Cowser was not playing as well as he is, if he was not a top 20 prospect in baseball, if he was not filling Colton Cowser's just playing too well not to be in the lineup. And Cedric Mullins has looked outstanding lately. Anthony Santander, you know what kind of value he can give you with the bat. And so there's just not really a place for Austin Hayes right now in this lineup when he's hitting the way that he is, because he can't work him into a DH spot either with Ryan Mountcastle and Ryan O'Hearn swinging the bat the way that they are. So it's a weird combination of, yeah, Austin Hayes isn't playing well and he's slumping, but he also doesn't really have a ton of chances to break out of it right now, because you can't take Cowser or Mullins or Santander or O'Hearn or Mountcastle out of the lineup.
Yeah, and, you know, just like Cowser did, Austin Hayes will get opportunities, and I'm sure he'll take advantage of them when he does. It's not such a dire situation as some people are making it out to be. I think it's fine, and, yeah, he's struggling right now, and that's obvious from the numbers, but he'll bounce back, and at the very least, you already have three guys in the outfield who are playing incredibly well, and Austin Hayes is a great glove, and his bat will improve.
Yeah, he is middle of the pack in baseball right now in barrel percentage, so he's not just completely missing the ball. His StatCast page still does not look good. I mean, obviously, the numbers are not great. The StatCast page is not great, but he has gotten a little bit unlucky. It is not an .077 average. Again, the expected batting average is up closer to 200, which still isn't awesome, but there's great players around baseball hitting 200 right now. Aaron Judge and Bryce Harper, I think, are both hitting a .95. Like that, that happens to good players. He will turn it around, and as you mentioned, even if Austin Hayes turns into your fourth outfielder, he kind of is right now, but what a fourth outfielder to have.
Yeah.
He can play all three outfield positions very well. He's got a cannon for an arm. He is a solid defensive center fielder if Cedric Mullins needs an off day against a lefty. So even if Hayes kind of transitions back into a fourth outfielder role, which I don't know if that's exactly going to be the case, Colton Cowser's not going to hit 400 forever, and Austin Hayes isn't going to hit .077 forever. So we'll see how that split goes. But this is a really good group of four outfielders. And Colton Cowser playing as well as he is only bolsters that. And we know Austin Hayes, given the track record, is going to get back on track.
Yeah, and the Orioles' depth is arguably one of its greatest weapons, because, you know, you have probably the best backup catcher in baseball in James McCann. You have a couple guys in the infield that would start for other teams backing up your infielders. And if Austin Hayes is your fourth outfielder, you have another guy that would start for a good amount of teams behind your other outfielders. So, yeah, I mean, they're in a good spot any way you spin it.
Right. Absolutely. Let's talk about Jackson Holliday.
Okay.
Because that has been a big topic of discussion over the last week or so for obvious reasons. He's the number one overall prospect in baseball. He's played in six games thus far, 22 at-bats. Only the one hit. He scored four runs. He's got an RBI, 12 strikeouts, and one walk. Breathe. It's fine. It's six games. He's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, am I surprised? A little bit, but only only because he's raised the bar to, you know, the stratosphere for his, you know, level of readiness is what I was trying to say. I think he's fine. But it is a little shocking to see how he looks a little visibly rattled. And, you know, I think I probably would be, too, if I were 20 years old playing second base at Camden Yards. I mean, give the guy a break. I think give him a couple weeks. Yeah. He'll be totally fine. It's okay. Colton Cowser was talking to him, or was talking in the clubhouse, and was talking about the Red Sox series where he got called up, if he gave him any advice, and he was like, I mean, what is there to say other than just breathe, you know, like it'll be okay.
Big breathing guy, Colton Cowser.
He's a very big breathing guy. We know this.
Yeah.
But Jackson's struggling a little bit. I think it's fine. You know, you can't expect every single prospect to come up and set the world on fire. It just does not happen to everybody, regardless of who you are. You've got to find your stride. You've got to get comfortable. Like anything else, you got to get comfortable. So I think Holiday's going to be okay. And yeah, he's had a couple of rocky games here, but it'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, look, he starts in Boston, and I know Jackson Holiday has been having this sort of stuff follow him throughout his career because he was the number one overall pick. He's the son of Matt Holiday. That's kind of what happens. But the media attention that that dude was getting in Boston, and then once he comes back to Baltimore at Camden Yards, I mean, he's walking back into the clubhouse, and the amount of media there to see him and talk to him is ridiculous. And after he goes 0-for-4, like, he's got to do the same thing. And I know that comes with the territory of being the top prospect in baseball, of being this 20-year-old phenom that just got called up. But that's a lot to handle. And I know his teammates have talked about it too, that, you know, yes, the on-the-field play, you would like to see the bat come along a little bit more, but he is handling everything spectacularly.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a tremendously professional kid.
Yeah.
You know, like, he, again, like, we've said this many times, and I'll keep saying because it's true, he acts like a veteran in the locker room.
Yeah.
And kind of because he is. He's been in them for 20 years. But, you know, he acts like he's, you know, been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so he also has the support in that locker room to succeed. I mean, you look around, the guys around him did the exact same thing he's doing not long ago. You know, you've got Adley, Gunnar, Colton, Grayson. They've all done it within the last couple of years. So I think he'll be okay. There's a lot of people to guide him and give him advice. Like, this is just not something I would be worried about. Yeah. You know, if you're losing sleep over this, don't. He'll be fine.
And we talked about it when he got promoted, but Adley Rutschman did not play well for the first 15 games of his career. I think he was hitting .120.
I think
something like that. There are Hall of Fame, like Willie Mays, Ryan Sandberg had historic 0-for-something.
I think the reason that this is getting highlighted is because not only is he the number one prospect in baseball who's been hyped up for a long time now, like the others were as well, this team's supposed to win.
Sure.
You know, like when those guys came up, it was like, oh, they don't have to win. You know, like it's whatever. Now it's like, okay, you're going to win. Like, you have to win.
Yeah.
You know, you just won 101 games. It's World Series time, okay? So that's why I think the magnifying glass from everybody has kind of been put on him even more than the other guys, is because he's expected to show up at 20 years old and contribute like an all-star. I think that's what everybody was expecting.
Sure.
So, yeah, of course the pressure is a little much for him. I mean, I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably the extra layer of magnification that he's dealing with.
Important to remember, too, that even though his minor league numbers are spectacular overall, when he got to Aberdeen, he started 2-for-12. When he got to Norfolk, he started 1-for-13. So give him some time to settle in. I will say, too, not making excuses for Jackson Holiday. Obviously, you would like the numbers to be better, but I don't think he's seen a mistake pitch yet.
Really?
It seems like every at-bat, he is just getting somebody's absolute best. And I don't know if that's the kind of thing where pitchers are like, ah, you know, welcome to the majors. Like, I don't know what it is, but every at bat, it seems like they are just pitching Jackson Holiday.
You think Jackson Holiday gets
so
in the box?
So well.
And Chris Paddock the other day was like, I'm going to just dot this guy up on the
corner.
Listen,
I don't know what it is.
Maybe it was. Who knows?
But Jackson Holiday I don't think he has seen a mistake. And early on, he was hesitant. You know, in the Boston series, you saw him get into a lot of two-strike counts because he didn't want to be over-aggressive. He didn't want to seem jittery. You know, we saw him yesterday. He took a first-pitch gapper out to left center that was caught. He's going to be fine. But I just think it's funny that we have not seen, at least I haven't seen, a pitcher make a mistake thus far against Jackson Holiday.
Every time I hear, you know, criticism about him, I just go back to what Ryan O'Hearn said about him when we spoke to him at spring training, which is that he has a perfect swing.
Yeah.
Like, coming from Ryan O'Hearn, like, that's, I feel like that's pretty high praise.
Yeah.
A guy who, he gets to the clubhouse, his office is the batter's box, okay? He plays the outfield, he plays the infield sometimes. That guy plays baseball to hit the ball.
Yeah.
So to come from a guy like him who probably wishes he had a perfect swing, or he's a pretty darn good one, we'll talk about him in a second.
Yeah.
But Jackson Holliday's got a perfect swing. Like, I just think that's something that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's talk about Ryan O'Hearn.
Sure.
A nice segue there, Bones. He's got a home run in each of his last three games. He has collected 15 total bases in his last three games. In the month of April, He is hitting a cool 342 and slugging 737. I mean, the Orioles are using him well. He is facing a lot of right-handed pitching. They are putting him in consistently good situations. But my goodness, he looks like one of the best hitters in baseball right now.
Listen.
And they got him for cash considerations.
The hot take that people wanted to have that was popular, the hot take that was popular among, you know, non-Orioles fans over the offseason was that, oh, they're not going to get contributions from a guy like Ryan O'Hearn again.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
I will
if
say,
you watch
there were
this
a lot
team,
of Orioles fans that said, like, put Couser in the lineup and forget about Ryan O'Hearn.
No, see, that's...
Don't listen, forget about Ryan
O'Hearn.
If you
watched this team every day last year, you knew that Ryan O'Hearn is just a grinder. Like, he's just a baller.
Yeah.
And he goes out there and he's going to hit the ball, okay? It's
yeah.
just, he's figured it out. He's gotten through whatever he had to get through, and now he's here and he's going to hit the ball. I knew that he was going to come in and play well again this year. I mean, he's just... He's a very good hitter. I mean, there's yeah. no way around it. He can hit any pitch. He's got power. He's got gap power. He hits well for contact. He's just a good hitter. And I'm glad to see him playing well again.
Yeah, and on the year, he's got a .333 batting average, a .400 on-base percentage, 5 walks, and only 5 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's
I know the
awesome.
Orioles are using him well. They are finding places for him to go against right-handed pitching, but Ryan O'Hearn right now is a consistent middle of the order type of player.
And that's what he has to be.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is playing that well adds so much to this team because yep. if you don't have to rely, I think, you know, lineups that are really great, 1 through 9, obviously are the best ones, but it's really just about not having a hole and not having a guy who comes up and being like, all right, well, this guy's not going to get it done.
Yep.
I really think that the Orioles have a lineup in which there really is no hole. Every
I mean,
single guy can hurt you.
Today, I mean, the 9 hitter is Jackson Holliday, who has struggled lately, but like you're going to call
everybody
Jackson Holliday
can hurt
a hole
you.
In the lineup?
Everybody can hurt you in this lineup, and that's yeah. why I think that they're going to be incredibly successful this season. Why they were so successful last year is because not only the guys in the starting lineup can hurt you, the guys on the bench can as well. So I think that with O'Hearn showing up and playing like he is, he adds that much more to the roster because they don't need to play him every day, but when they do, he's going to do damage.
Yeah, and O'Hearn doesn't count as homegrown talent. Obviously, he started his career in Kansas City, but it almost feels like that because he was traded to the Orioles for cash considerations. The Orioles make some fixes with Ryan O'Hearn. They put him in a good position to succeed, and now he's doing this. This is a brand new player.
Yeah.
Than who he was in Kansas City. And we have seen the Orioles do that time and time again. I know it's easy to point to the last few years of the Orioles having high draft picks. They've got guys like Holliday. We're going to talk about, you know, we talked about Colton Couser, who was the 5th overall pick. Adley Rutschman, obviously, was the #1 overall pick. But they are finding so much success on the margins, and that's what makes this team successful. It's guys like Ryan O'Hearn and Danny Coulomb and Yennier Cano who are able to complement the ridiculous load of homegrown talent, and the Orioles just find these guys for nothing. And then they make them brand new baseball players, and that's what Ryan O'Hearn is right now.
And that's what separates a good organization and a good team from a bad one.
Yeah.
Is that you can go out and find guys in you know, diamonds in the rough, for lack of a better term. But, you know, they did it last year with Coulomb, with Cano, with Hicks, so many guys who either had been given up on or just kind of thrown to the side. The Orioles said, wait, there's some value there, and we're going to use it. And that's what they did with a lot of guys. And they added that onto their homegrown talent that is so, so good. And that's what the recipe for success was. And I think that for if you look over the history of the game, especially recently, that's where a lot of success comes from. You look at some World Series MVPs, there's some names that are either not known for being on that team or just not that known at all.
Sure.
So I think that the Orioles are doing it right now. And if you're an O's fan, you got to be really happy.
Yeah, I think a future show will probably be us breaking down the fact that this is not normal
yeah.
to have this much homegrown talent in one major league lineup. I mean, the Orioles have hit an unbelievable rate in the draft
and developing
these guys. And let's talk about the rest of the guys that are on hot streaks right now, because this offense is really on another level. We'll start with Jordan Westberg. Last 7 games, he's got 12 hits, 3 homers, 9 runs driven in. That's good for a .462 batting average, a .533 on-base percentage, and a 923 slugging percentage. He's got 9 extra base hits in April. A lot of them have been in really clutch spots. I mean, Jordan Westberg has more than earned his everyday role, whether it's at second base or third base. I mean, heck, you could play him at shortstop if you wanted to. Jordan Westberg is a ball player, and he's a darn good one.
I mean, this was a guy coming into the year who you knew was going to be one of those players who, if he played well, the team's going to play well kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's not one of the superstars on the team, but he's that's what I'm saying.
He might be now.
He's incredibly important, and he's playing his way into that kind of level.
Yeah.
He's been so good, and we all know he's had incredible potential, but I think that he's exceeded pretty much everybody's expectations up until this point this season.
Yeah.
He's so good, and like you said, the versatility of the defense on top of what he does at the plate makes him so valuable.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams who wish they had a Jordan Westberg right now. A lot of teams.
Yeah, and the power is underrated. Jordan Westberg in the minor leagues, a lot of the conversation was he just does everything well, and there wasn't one aspect of his game that really stood out. I think that's still the case, but I think his power was really undervalued. And Jordan Westberg doesn't have a ton of pull side power. I mean, we saw a pull side home run yesterday, conquered the wall in left field here at Oriole Park, but
which was awesome and unexpected for me.
But
I was shocked.
A lot of his power is opposite side. He's going to hit a lot of home runs to the right center field gap because he just has that kind of push power to him. But he's got 4 home runs in 16 games right now. He had 3 home runs last year in 68 games. So the power has come along for Jordan Westberg, and we saw it in Norfolk. You didn't really know how well it was going to translate because he doesn't strike you as a guy that just has a ton of raw power at the plate, but he hit 27 home runs in 2022 in his minor league career. Like, he has 20-plus home run potential, and I think we'll see him hit 20-plus this season. So I know Jordan Westberg was kind of the master of none sort of build, where it was he's a really solid defender. He's going to give you a solid average. He's going to give you solid power. But I think the ceilings of all of those attributes was higher than we thought it was.
I think you're right. I mean, that's at least what he's showing us right now.
Yeah.
Who knows what will happen the rest of the season. But, yeah, you're definitely right about that. I mean, I think that we all kind of expected him to come in, play positions pretty well, hit the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
But not do anything crazy. And he has just been everything and more for this team.
Yeah, we expected him to be just a solid player. And he is an all-around very good player. That ceiling has been raised in my mind for Jordan Westbrook.
And, you know, tough for you know, Kobe Mayo and Connor Norby as well.
Yeah.
Because this is a guy who's not giving up his job.
No.
He's going to play third base until somebody plays better than him or they move him because he is just that good.
Yeah, he's not going to give up his everyday role. I don't think that's happening
anytime soon. His play certainly won't. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. We already talked about Colton Cowser, but he, of course, factors into this conversation of the Orioles' hot streaks, the month of April specifically. He's hitting .400 with an .825 slugging percentage. That gets it done.
Yeah.
Don't have to talk too much about him. We already
How good the Orioles are at drafting players. I really think that if you look at the stretch that Mike Elias and his team have had, I would find it hard to believe that it is one of the best stretches of drafting players ever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see somebody put together, you know, like how he compares to the other greatest stretches of drafting players or whatever, which GMs have drafted the highest WAR or something like that.
I think that sounds like a job for us.
Yeah, maybe it's us.
I think that's what we're going to do.
But it's just incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know if anybody's ever done it the way he's doing it right now because you have I'm not going to name them all because we'd be sitting here for a while, but so much talent that he's brought into this organization. And it's not only the guys in the MLB, it's the guys in AAA, it's the guys in AA, it's the guys who might not see the field for the Orioles because there's no spot.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to go somewhere else because the Orioles have done too good of a job at drafting players, and they have too much talent, which is something I don't know anybody ever thought they'd say.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about extend Adley, extend Gunnar, extend Elias, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That guy's getting it done. Let's talk about one of his second-round draft picks, which seems crazy that he was only a second-round pick. That's Gunnar Henderson. Last 7 games, 10 hits, 3 homers, slugging 700, 11 total bases in his last two games. And he is tearing the absolute cover off the ball. I mean, I know Gunnar Henderson's stats for the season thus far are maybe not, you know, exactly where you wanted them to be. I mean, they're still very good stats, but, you know, it seems like with the way he is hitting the ball, his stats should be better. He is in the 99th percentile in baseball in average exit velocity, which is up over 96.5 miles an hour. And he is in the 98th percentile in hard hit percentage at 60%. 60% of the baseballs that Gunnar Henderson hits are hard hits.
I think he's one of my favorite players in the league. I mean, like, just not...
He's so exciting.
Not even from an Orioles media or fan perspective. I think he's just one of the most exciting players in baseball to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's an athletic, tall shortstop who's fast, can hit for power, and can make every single play. That just doesn't come around very often. He's so much fun. I mean, watching the guy warm up is a joy. It really is.
Yeah.
I love watching him take ground balls because he makes every play perfectly.
Yeah.
And he makes the jump throws, and he makes the throws that you think there's no way he's going to make. He is just fantastic. And I really wouldn't be surprised if he's the first player of these drafted players to win an MVP or come close to it. Just because, there aren't many guys who can do what he does. And Adley, obviously, at catcher, is doing things that nobody ever does either. But Gunnar, I mean, he's just tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
The way he's hitting the ball right now could come pretty soon.
Yeah.
Two more guys that Michael Elias did not draft but are still on really good stretches. Cedric Mullins, last 7 games. 8 hits, 6 runs, 2 homers, 3 walks. Hitting .364. On base percentage at .423. Slugging .682. The power for Mullins is really impressive. Not something that we have seen from him in a stretch like this since his 30-30 season. Hopefully he's able to keep it up and stay healthy and stay on the field. But Cedric Mullins, we know the type of value he brings you defensively. We have seen some unbelievable catches. I mean, that diving catch the other night, one of the best catches I think I've ever seen.
I think it's one of the, I was thinking about this. I think it's one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. Like,
yeah.
I didn't see Willie Mays make that catch over his shoulder. I didn't see Jim Edmonds dive towards the wall. But I think Cedric Mullins just made one of the best catches I've ever seen with my eyes. I mean,
that was an unbelievable play.
It was the kind of thing where you're watching the replay, so you know he made the catch. But it still seems like there's no way he's going to catch the ball. It seems like it's impossible. And then he just lays out. Perfect catch. I mean, obviously, if you don't make that catch, you look pretty silly. So he must have known that he's going to make that play. But, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, truly unbelievable. Every time I watch it, it's still crazy. It's crazy.
He's on a heck of a heater, as is Ryan Mountcastle. He has been really consistently excellent to start this season. Last 7 games for him, 11 hits, a homer, 3 walks, only 3 strikeouts, a .438 on base percentage. The power over the last week or so hasn't been there as much for Mountcastle. He's still got solid power numbers on the season with 2 home runs and 5 doubles, but the on-base percentage is so impressive for Mountie. We saw it at the end of last season.
Yeah, we did.
But a .368 on-base percentage for the season. He's taken his walks. He's got 7 walks and 10 strikeouts. For a guy who just 2 seasons ago in 2022 had 43 walks and 154 strikeouts.
Wow.
Season before that, 41 walks, 161 strikeouts. I know that Mountcastle is probably going to strike out 100-plus times, but if the walk numbers can go from in the 40s to even in the 50s or 60s, that's a different player.
Yeah, I mean, on-base percentage is obviously key now more than ever. And if Ryan Mountcastle can turn himself into not maybe as exaggerated, but a Kyle Schwarber type, where you're hitting a lot of home runs and you're getting on base and we don't really care what your average is.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of player he can be. But
his average is good too.
Yeah, the average is better than Kyle Schwarber's probably ever will be. So
yeah, he's hitting .305 right now.
Yeah.
You take that.
He's fantastic. No, Mountcastle's a guy on this team who gets lost in the shuffle too, because I think it's because he's been very good for a while. So you kind of know he's a constant.
Sure.
He's got a floor. You know, that is at least starter level in the major leagues. And we know what he can do. And I think it's expected that he's going to go out there and play really well. And when he does, instead of getting flowers, he just gets, okay, good job. You did your job. Because he's that good.
We've just named about half the Orioles lineup that's on a heater right now.
Yeah.
About half of them. And you've got two very talented players in Jackson Holliday and Austin Hayes who are slumping a little bit, who will come around because they both have the talent to do that. And if this lineup keeps hitting the way it is, I know there are some questions in the starting rotation outside of Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, but the offense looks like one of the best in baseball right now. They've already scored 100 runs on the season. One of, I think, only five teams in baseball to have hit that mark right now. Three of them play in the NL West. But the Orioles are right there with some of the best offenses in baseball. And once you've got John Means back, once you've got Kyle Bradish back, that's a four-headed monster at the top of the starting rotation. And the Orioles are positioning themselves very, very well to have another run at the AL East crown.
Everything is shaping up to what people hoped.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple things here and there that still need to click into place,
sure.
But this is looking good, okay? It's looking like it wasn't a fluke, is what I can tell you, and that this team really is good, which, shocker to Orioles fans, but, you know, the non-Oriole fan and the casual fan definitely had its doubts, and O's are out there proving them wrong, which is the best thing to see.
Yeah, absolutely, and with Bradish and Means on the mend, and Holliday and Hayes hopefully on the way up, reinforcements are on the way, and this team, I think, is only going to continue to get better and improve as the young guys right now are playing their butts off. And there's no reason to expect that they're not going to keep doing that.
But right there with you.
The Orioles are looking for a sweep today against the Minnesota Twins, looking to keep the good times rolling. And that'll just about do it for this week's edition of The Bird's Nest. Thank you so much for following along with us live. If you were live with us on YouTube and Facebook, we go live every Wednesday at 11 a.m., breaking down all the Orioles storylines that you need to know about. If you didn't catch us live on YouTube and Facebook, you can catch us after the fact on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts or digital shows. You can find us here on The Bird's Nest. Big thank you to Amy Jennings behind the scenes for producing this one. For Matt Bonaparte, I am Brendan Mortensen, and we'll catch you next time.